You've never heard of them. You won't see them bronzed up on a Sunset Strip billboard or chasing 20-something models on Love Island. When they get free drink tickets on an airplane, you bet your ass they fucking use them. It's Two Guys, One Podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Ron Alleman and Brian Harris.
Ron the Al Alleman. Ron the Al Alleman.
Brian the Hack Harris. In the house, in the studio, Hitman,
baby.
The Hitman.
How you living, brother?
I'm good, man. I'm sitting here. I'm chilling. I'm in Chicago, just relaxing, enjoying this fucking, the summertime weather. We have like 70 degrees today. 70 degrees. We have a week's worth of upper 60s, sunshine, no rain, no snow. And I'm warning my kids, I'm like, get outside, like go play. Like when you're on your lunch break from school, like go out and shoot some hoops or ride around the backyard, whatever, because this is not going to last, man. I mean, next Wednesday, we're back in the 30s.
You speak the truth. And for those that can't see, our listening audience out there, you're also donning a scarf, my man. So what's up with that?
This is a fashion scarf, and all my friends know that once November rolls around, you're going to see me in a lot of scarves. It's just what I do. And I know, like I just said, it's warm outside, but this is just now. This is just
is that
like
your thing, your scarf guy?
I am a scarf guy. And one of my favorite scarves I had, I lost it out in Arizona about 6 years ago. And I'm still looking for it. But I'm just wearing one now. I got off of Amazon. So it's fine.
Well, I can tell you where you went wrong on that, my man. First of all, what the fuck are you doing wearing a scarf in Arizona? Isn't it like 120 degrees?
Well, no doubt. I was out there for the Super Bowl a couple years back. One of my great friends from high school, Mr. Milo R.D. Johnson, invited myself.
Milo.
Yeah, Milo. A couple other guys from high school. We went out there. And yeah, you're correct. Arizona is very hot in the summer. But in the wintertime, especially January, February, it can drop. It gets pretty chilly at nighttime. So imagine 12 guys from high school hanging out in the backyard, having some brewskis. It was getting a little chilly at night. So I donned a scarf for a couple of days. It was nice.
Well, you wear it well, my man. So listen, I know we got an action-packed episode today and eager to jump right into that. Before we do, though, man, I think we would be remiss not to at least spend a minute or two on the political situation we find ourselves in. And not going to get too political here on Two Guys, One Podcast, but here we are on a Thursday with the presidential election on a Tuesday, and we still don't have any results. It feels a little house on the prairie to me. These people piled into ballot centers counting by hand, one vote for this guy, one vote for that guy, and surely we can come up with something better here in 2020 than a manual count like we're seeing, no?
Well, I think we're all kind of anxious. We just want to see the results here appear pretty quickly. I agree with you. I was up the last two nights. I kept checking the television. Then I turn off the TV. And then in the middle of the night, if I wake up, I'm looking at the phone. It's crazy. But I mean, I guess the positive thing to look at is, you know, no matter who ends up the president, is that I think this is like the biggest voter turnout ever in the history of voting. So that's going to account for a lot of this extra time to vote. Also, the mail-in ballots because of Corona. A lot of people didn't feel safe going to the actual polls. So there's reasons why it's taken a long time, you know. And I think we should be done by this. I think by Friday we should know something, hopefully by tomorrow. Yeah.
Well, we shall see, my man. We shall see.
All right, Bryce. So cool. So this is a great day, man. We're going to bring on one of my friends. His name is DC Crenshaw. DC is a lot going on, man. DC is like the king of hustle. Okay. He's got
king of hustle. I like that.
He's got a magazine. He's got Fet magazine. He's with a great tequila company right now. I'm gonna let him talk about it. He does this great program with kids and with dining. It's called Little Diners Crew. So welcome to the show, DC Crenshaw. What's going on, man?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. Good to see
Thanks
you.
Thanks for being here,
good
man.
To talk to you. Absolutely. I'm excited to talk to you two guys.
I mean, off the top, I got to say, King of Hustle, I get introduced with much less acclaim than that. It's a pretty sharp title, so eager to hear about that, but Ron definitely introduces me with much less acclaim.
You have to earn the title, Brian. I think your name is, what was it? The Hack? Brian the Hack Harris?
You gave me Hitman.
Oh. They call him Hitman because he used to smack guys in the nuts with a towel.
That part is completely made up. After tennis practice, for a second, no truth to that whatsoever.
Trust me, I can relate to that, man. I know we used to do the same thing in the locker room: hit guys in the ass, hit guys in the nuts. You know,
wow,
all that stuff. That's what guys do, right?
Okay. if you guys, there you go. Okay, that's what guys do.
So yeah, it's great to have you, DC, and eager to chop it up with you today.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, DC and I have known each other for a while. Back when I was sous chef at the Fairmont Hotel, which was probably around like 15, 16 years ago now.
God, it was that long ago?
It's been a while, man. I know you used to come by and see me, but DC was running, at least how I found him on Facebook, he was running this really cool show called Game Time Dine. He'd bring in like some pro athletes and they'd dine in restaurants and they would just have a really great time. But, you know, DC actually used to play football. I don't want to talk for him too much, but tell us a little about your football
career. Yeah, I played college ball at BG Bowling Green in Ohio, Bowling Green State University in the MAC conference, played a linebacker. Afterwards, I played arena football for a couple years and was I would never play in the NFL, but I had a trial with the Lions, but I didn't I was never in on their roster. But I've, you know, obviously played football for many years, so then hung up the cleats a couple of years afterwards.
That's cool, brother. So you played college and arena ball both. What team were you on?
The arena football team was called the Columbus Thunderbolts, and the franchise moved to Cleveland
The
following year. So one season in Columbus, one season in Cleveland.
Awesome.
And then after that, I was done. Yeah, it was fun. It was different. It was my first job out of college. We got paid $500 a week and $600 if you won.
Nice.
And we were 0-10. Yeah.
So 5G for that season. That's awesome.
Well, you know what, man? You made it to the pro level, and that's an accomplishment held by very few. So I'd just be curious to hear you speak on for a minute. What it takes to maintain your body week in and week out at that level. And, you know, you look at today's NFL, those guys take such an absolute beating. I'd love to hear your perspective on that, my man.
Yeah, well, I can tell you what they're doing now as far as taking care of their bodies is totally different to what we were doing when I was playing, you know, 20 plus years ago, taking care of my body. We didn't really know how to eat. We didn't really know how to train properly. We didn't take supplements. Everything has evolved to where these guys have it down to a science, and really taking care of your body means so much, man. As far as the nutrition and all that stuff. I mean, literally when I was training, and you know, getting ready for the season, I would probably drop about 20 pounds, you know, to get ready for the season. Cause I would in spring ball, like around 240. And then I would try to get down. Actually, I'd probably drop about 15 pounds. I would try to get down to 225. And my nutrition was eating one time a day, right? I would eat one time a day and, you know, work out and you lose weight. But, you know, I got in shape. But these guys now, you know, it's totally different. And but what you're seeing a lot of injuries this year in the NFL because these guys haven't trained properly. And, you know, they didn't have preseason like they normally do. So I think that's why you're seeing so many injuries from these guys.
Yeah, that makes sense. And, you know, in the same breath, you look at some of these older guys in the league, like look at Tom Brady, 40 and some change now, and his diet, his dietary supplements, what he does off the field. Do you think that contributes to his longevity and guys that really dial in and take it that serious?
Oh, absolutely, man. You know, I think he does the vegan thing sometimes. And let me tell you, I did the vegan thing at the beginning of the year. I did it for a week. I just wanted to try it. And it really changed my body. I felt so much more energized. I felt so much better. I slept so much better. So an athlete like Tom Brady or anybody, you know, LeBron, even Serena Williams, who talked about eating properly, it does so much more for your body. And it increases your your athleticism or your longevity as far as being an athlete, and, you know, reduces the injuries, helps you recover better. And, you know, it's really, you know, anything is about having a proper amount of rest and being able to perform at your maximal level. And rest is so much, so important. And what you put in your body is so, so important. I mean, you know, even as a, you know, me being 52, shit, you know, I drank a whole bunch of tequila last night watching the election. And, you know, you just feel like crap the next morning. And, but when I'm drinking water and I'm eating properly, I mean, I feel so much better.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting what you say about sports science and the evolution of today's athlete. And if you look back 20, 30 years ago, athletes of yore, pretty much unrecognizable to what you see today. I mean, take a look at Khalil Mack, right? I mean, these athletes today are just next level, next generation.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the guys now. I mean, you know, when I was coming out, I was, you know, 6 foot, about 240, ran a 4.6.
Whoa.
These guys now are like, they're the same size and they're running 4.4s.
Yeah.
You know, it's just ridiculous. And these guys are just beasts. They're animals. I mean, it's crazy. So, you know, what they're doing, the way they know how to train and how to eat is so much better now.
Ronnie, what's your 40 time these days, would you say?
About 30 seconds. First of all, I'm not running. When you tell me to go, I'm going to roll my eyes at you. Yeah,
that'd be
probably a cold 30, 40. Yeah. Let me ask you this, though, DC. Do you ever get the itch, though, when you're sitting there watching games? Do you ever get the itch to get out there and hit someone, put on the pads?
Man, I used to, but I'm just too damn old now. My knees, when I stand up, and my back, and I'm like, oh, crap. But, you know, I coach my kids. I coach their football teams. I coach them, you know, individually, too. So I'm out there doing some stuff with them and moving around. I take me some ibuprofen. I'm good. And after it wears off, I'm like, damn, for real? I used to look at TV and be like, man, I wish I could get out there and ball again. But not anymore. I like watching these young guys do their thing.
Man, you were really right there, right? I mean, you're basically one small notch below the NFL. And be interested to hear you speak on what's the delta, what's the gap between that level and the level that you got to, because you're right there, my man.
You know, a lot of it is just opportunity, man. It's, you know, I played, so when I, on my arena football team, there were probably five or six guys that were on there that had just came out of the NFL. And a lot of these guys played at Ohio State and some other schools, and I was better than them. You know, I knew I could ball. I knew I could play in the NFL. But sometimes, you know, it's about getting that opportunity. And, you know, the NFL will tell you it's not fair. So there might be a guy that's a free agent, and he may be better than the second round pick, but they're going to play the second round pick because they invested in money in that. You know, I had a cousin that played for the Browns. He was a running back out of Youngstown State. He was fast, and he was a free agent with the Browns, and you know, he could have made the team, but he wasn't a draft pick, and so they make business decisions too. But you still got to be able to ball. I mean, it's, you get the opportunity, you got to be able to ball. You got to be able to, you know, the speed of the game is so much faster. I'll tell you a story. When I went to arena football training camp, you know, I didn't know what to expect. You know, I went to camp, and you know, the first day, you know, I saw everybody putting their pads on, and I said, what you guys putting your pads on for? And they were like, oh, man, this is the pros. Dude, you put the pads on day one. And I was like, oh, shit, okay. So, you know, I put the pads on, and we got out there, and it was this big dude named Zach, man. And Zach was probably about 6'5", probably about 275, all muscle.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
And He played with the Lions. I mean, he played with the Falcons. He played with some of the cast. He was at the end of his career. But I remember the first play I was playing linebacker, he was playing line, and he locked on to me, and I couldn't get off. I was like, oh, that was the first time I was in my life. I was like, oh, okay, I got to step it up. And, you know, I had to be that much quicker. I had to be that much faster. in order to shed the blocks and get to where I need to be. So, you know, this and I can't imagine what it's like now. You know, these guys are so big, strong, and quick. So, but I say that's the difference between, you know, from coming from college and getting to the NFL where everybody is, you know, everybody can ball.
And what I was going to say too, DC, is if you do ever get the itch to play, I know the Cowboys are looking for some walk-ons right now. Just bring a jersey. Bring a Cowboys jersey.
Take it easy.
And they'll sign you up. It's no problem.
Ron's clowning on my Cowboys, unfortunately. Obviously, everyone that even loosely follows the NFL, what a shit show that is over there.
Oh, brother, I feel bad for you, man. Yeah, it's not looking too good down there.
No.
But
no.
Are they still in first place, though?
No. We dropped the game to Philly under the less-than-capable arm of Ben DiNucci, and looks like we're going to be trotting out our four-string quarterback this week. So, yeah, we're firmly in third place and have 2-14 written all over us. You're getting me depressed now, Ronnie. I'm going to have to go grab a drink or something.
Well, you know what should get you – okay, so what's going to make you happy, though, Brian, is I know that we're in 2020, and it's a crazy year. There's so much going on. But technically, we are in party season, brother.
Are we?
So we – yeah. For me, it starts on 10/31. It's that Halloween, the Halloween weekend, because now to the end of the year, I mean, we've got – we just went through Halloween. We pushed the time back a little bit. We got Thanksgiving on the horizon. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. There's football. NBA should be starting up maybe this year. We'll see. I mean, there's a lot going on. So that's kind of like the question I actually had for you guys, because obviously things are a lot different now with the lockdown and with Corona, and us trying to be a little bit safer. So how are we going to do this? How are we going to get through this time of year? It's always known for festivities. I know people want to get together with their families and have parties. So what do you guys have in mind? Like, I mean, I obviously stay a little bit safer and avoid the larger groups, but any ideas, any thoughts for doing this?
Well, I think that it's going to look totally different, you know, this year, obviously. The thing is, I think people have been figuring out how to do these Zoom parties and stuff like that, which we did, you know, at the beginning of the year when this whole thing came down. I think people are still also trying to figure out how to support their local restaurants by ordering out and, you know, or, you know, ordering in type of thing and going, picking up food and bringing it home. And, sure. You know, there's still, you know, once they allow for in-house dining, you know, I think there's still going to be some opportunities for these smaller, you know, dinner parties for families and stuff like that. But it's definitely going to be totally different.
Yeah, it's like you said, I think everywhere now we're approaching, 6 or 7 months into this thing. And I think it's really just about fatigue. I mean, everybody is forced to a new reality in terms of social connections, social activity. And, you know, for me personally, you know, take the holidays, for example, my family normally descends upon Texas and we have a big get together. And that's in question now because of the safety around travel and all those things. And, you know, I think it's just the fatigue of this. It's be different if we had a clear end in sight, if we knew on X date things were going to return to normal. But without that finite date in the future that we can hang our hats on, it's people are getting worn out, and it's tough. You know, I think ultimately, as DC pointed out, you just need to get inventive, lean on technology where you can to connect in new ways, and just soldier on the best we can. What say ye, Mr. Al-Anon?
I mean, we have been kind of laying very, very low as far as people that we hang out with. You know, when we're with other people, or, you know, people like without outside of our group. And I say our group, it's my family, it's my in-laws, because they're home right now. Neither of them are working, so they're part of our extended family. A couple cousins and their kids, but so we're really. It sounds like a big group, but this is like our core unit of people that we've just been hanging out with the entire quarantine. There's about, I guess, around 12 of us. So I'm sure we'll still get together for Thanksgiving, you know, and there's been a couple of COVID scares in the family. No one has gotten it. Thank goodness. But even me, like the other day, I went to an open house with my realtor. Looking at this little property, and he called me the night of, and he's like, "Hey man, just FYI, I tested positive." So I'm like, "Oh Jesus." So I had a meeting yesterday. I had to cancel. I have a meeting tomorrow. I canceled, but I mean, I'm totally fine. And for him, it was very, very mild. Even his wife and his daughter, they didn't really get anything too major. So, but I'm fairly certain I'm totally fine. I wanted to be safe, so I canceled some meetings. But I mean, we're still going to get together. We'll still have some Thanksgiving. You know, we'll just keep it really quiet, very low key. But you know, it's the traveling. Like I know Brian, like you said, you have your family in Texas, so that kind of sucks that you can't go out there. But I think this is just the sacrifice, man, that we have to kind of make right now. And you know, it's just time to hunker down. And I think we have to remember, like, let's just not loosen up on this thing right now. Cause like you were saying, Brian, like, people are getting sick of this. They're getting tired of it. But I mean, we're going through it together. We're still there. We're still heading in the right course. I believe, you know, we're still wearing masks, trusting science, and let's just get through this together. Let's just do it now. So we can, you know, hopefully by, you know, springtime or early next year, if there's a vaccine, hopefully then, you know, we can start getting a little bit, you know, somewhat back to normal life. I mean, I miss going to a baseball game. I miss concerts. I miss street festivals in Chicago. I mean, this has been crazy. So let's just
get I agree. You know, I think if people are doing their part, you know, it sucks. You know, you can't go to these places. You can't be social, and we're social people. And so, you know, it sucks if you can't do these things. But you know, we get through it, and we'll get a vaccine. We'll look back and be like, hey. You know what? You remember when? And but you know, it's about getting through it this time.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's interesting too, because I know we're going to talk a little bit more about this. But raising a teenager, my son's 15, and I often find myself thinking about, gosh, what a huge departure from a normal teenage social environment, adolescent growing up in these times, and the whole removal from school and the social impact, not being able to socialize with his friends. And, you know, basically having at this point a year plus of his high school experience derailed, that's tough, man, and gives a parent pause for sure, especially during the formative years. So you worry and you hope there's no lingering impact of that.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Our kids, you know, our kids are younger, well, 9 and almost 9 and 12. But, you know, they want to be around their friends. But they've been active. We've been doing football. We've had sports for 7 days a week.
That's great.
Football, baseball, soccer. So that was kind of like a saving grace, so they can be out and be active. Because, you know, the winter's coming to Chicago. Shoot, you know, you can't do anything when it gets cold outside. So
yeah, that's great, though. That's important, being able to do those things. What about the Alamann offspring there, Ronnie? How are your kiddos adapting to all of this?
They're pretty good. I mean, you know, I was going to ask you, DC, like how your kids are doing with this, with e-learning, because, you know, we're out here, we're in Oak Park, so we're just west of the city, and we are 100% e-learning from home. So I've got my five-year-old, Eddie, you know, he's in kindergarten. He's just crushing it. He loves it. You know, he's having a great time. He's never been in school, though, so this is kind of all that he knows. And then I have my sixth grader, Aiden. He's 11. He'll be 12 next month. But he was the one that was having a hard time. And I kind of, you know, I had to kind of dig in with him pretty deep. And part of it was me being the parent that was giving him a little bit too much leeway, I think, with the online stuff. And once I kind of got in there and saw, you know, how he was performing, I was a shock to me. You know, I mean, I had to help him bring his grades up pretty bad. So how are your kids doing with the e-learning now?
Yeah, you know, overall, I have to say they're going well. You know, we have some technology snafus at the beginning. My 8-year-old is, you know, more hands-on than my 12-year-old. But, you know, their teachers have done a really good job of setting up schedules for them. So every morning they know what to do, starting at 7:45, and they're in their classes. They know what time it is for lunch, recess, and all that stuff. The only thing is that they think I'm the damn butler, you know.
So
you know, they're like, Dad.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Just ringing a little bell for you.
Can you bring me some water?
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you really? You better get up and get your own water. yeah. And so, but you know, that's at times. It can be frustrating, but I have to make sure that, you know, they're doing their stuff. You got to stay on top of it. I go over the homework every day. Tell me what you did. You know, show me what you did. And, you know, my whole thing is, look, don't half-ass it. You know, don't do half the work. You know, I'm trying to teach them and how to, you know, do stuff in a way that is above and beyond what's expected of them. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes they only do the bare minimum. And there's, you know, they're smart kids and boys, you know, I don't know what it is with boys, but sometimes they just want to do the bare minimum stuff. And so I gotta stay on top of it. But, you know, for the most part, it's going well.
Yeah. My son has a PS4. I don't know if you guys have a gaming system for your kids or whatever, but I mean, it just seems like they're socializing so much now, like on the PS4, like getting together and playing Fortnite and just, you know, chatting that way, that's kind of become the way that they're socializing during the e-learning. So he'll sit through school and he just, you know, he's bored all day. He's doing his homework after school, whatever. And as soon as I give him the green light for the PS4, he's boom, you know, he's he's happy, dude. But I'm really trying to limit that stuff. We actually grounded him for a week off of that. And it was so nice. Like it was just such a nice, pleasant thing to see them, you know, actually engaging with my wife and me, you know, aside from sitting up in their room for hours and getting out there playing basketball in the backyard. And you know, so I think that's something that we still have to look at as far as these kids. I mean, let's be frank. I mean, an 11-year-old or a 12-year-old today is light years ahead of where we were when we were 11 and 12 years old, you know, back in the day. Yeah. So.
Stay tuned for part two. DC's going to break down his Cantera Negra tequila business. Ron shares some incredibly embarrassing details about his adolescence and puberty. And DC hits on his little diner's club, something you definitely don't want to miss. It's all coming up in part two, so check it out.
It's two guys, one podcast.